But really, what comes to mind is that the collaborative nature, you know, when in your mission statement is to improve health through collaborative means, what we have is an intention and a purpose. But it is a difficult journey. Collaboration is not for the faint of heart.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you are listening to Into the Fold. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. For episode 55 of the podcast, we talked about using a collaborative model for social change. What it is, when it makes sense, what makes for an effective collaborative, and what models of leadership are needed. In particular, we were interested in cross-sector collaboration to address complex problems like mental health. In that episode, we learned that good collaboratives have all the hallmarks of good teams, meaning they have clear objectives as well as an understanding of how each member contributes to the larger effort. They are self-reflective without giving way to paralysis by analysis. And their success is largely tied to every member's willingness to practice mutual respect and mutual accountability. Today, we discuss this concept in practice. Joining us by phone from San Antonio are three guests. Elizabeth Lutz is Executive Director of the Bexar County Community Health Collaborative. Pilar Oates is Chairman of the Board of Bexar County Community Health Collaborative. And Bob Farrar is another member of their board. They are here to explore these questions with us. Started in 1997, formally incorporated in 2000, this San Antonio area collaborative has evolved into a powerful enterprise that brings a synergistic approach to solving critical community health needs. All of you, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Ike.
Okay, so for starters, what is the history of the health collaborative and each of your own involvement with it?
This is Elizabeth, and I'd like to start with that and say that the health collaborative, our history, as you mentioned earlier, extends to 97. So we've been in service to our community for going on 20 plus years. The role of our organization was really to start the collaboration with hospitals to conduct a countywide needs assessment that could be shared by all. And that immediately started the process of engaging other partners and other community organizations as the findings of that collective or comprehensive report gave opportunity for people to start participating and joining together to see some good change with the health outcomes of our community. So since then, we continue to do the needs assessment for this county, but we've also started to have worked with the health department locally here to do a strategic planning process, which is the community health improvement plan that further engages stakeholders in further analyzing and discussing the findings of the report, but start to leverage each other's resources, talents, and skills to deliver a good outcome for our community. Outside of that, the collaborative has been called upon to serve as a capacity builder, community engager, facilitator of conversations, all in an effort to ensure that we're moving along in a similar direction and that, again, we continue to leverage our resources for the greater good of our community.
Well, my personal involvement, this is Bilal, by the way, with the Health Collaborative when we were out to do that first community health assessment, I represented Methodist Healthcare Ministry, and Methodist Care Ministries to this day remains in partnership with Hospital Corporation of America with Methodist Healthcare System. So Hospital Corporation of America and Methodist Healthcare Ministries were in partnership as owners of Methodist Healthcare System. And it was at that time Jeff Crabtree for Methodist Healthcare System that really he and Terry De La Haya and from University Health System and others really got together to see about putting all their competitive nature aside and starting together to move on this journey to do this community health needs assessment. I have been actively involved personally since 2000, first as representative of Methodist Healthcare Ministries, and now representing the community, as we have evolved into a collaborative that is truly changing and impacting community health here in San Antonio. We are an organization that not only does, as Elizabeth explained, the community health needs assessment, but we have felt need to respond to that so that in partnership with Metro Health, we have moved forward with the community health improvement plan, and we're moving forward with now an even better initiative that really talks about prevention, you know, the so what of things.
Okay.
And this is Bob. I've been on the board for 6 years, and my initial involvement as a kind of a researcher, public health interested doctor was on the data committee. So we think about what information, what statistics we need to compile to make a great community health assessment, and then we go about collecting information, vetting it, and trying to display it in as compelling and clear ways as possible. Later, I started to see the possibilities of this coalition to start an initiative that I had been actually thinking about for 5 years or so, which was to assemble new funding streams for public health in Bexar County. Obviously, there are a lot of big hospital systems with resources at the table, and also a lot of connections to other community stakeholders. And so I started a little committee called Health Impact Investing, again, meant to use new sources of funds to create health outcomes in ways that maybe were not at present in the community. And the board went with it, and so now we're about 3 years into that and starting to see some of the fruits of our labors.
Okay. And so maybe you could give me a sense of how it is that the collaborative is structured and what are like the most significant relationships that constitute it.
So the Health Collaborative right now is led by a group of 18 different leaders at the board level who really work towards the common mission of improving the health status of the community through collaborative means. And then layered under that is the support of different community collaboratives and coalitions that we support in areas of mental health, behavioral health, health literacy, access to care, active living, and healthy eating, and just a number of other different topics as identified through that needs assessment and, again, in agreement with multiple partners in that health improvement plan. You know, we have different partners that really play key stakeholder partnerships and really help us envision the next generation for this local county. So that's the makeup of our board. We have different representations. Definitely our hospital members are a part of our collaborative, but as well as our community-based organizers, our organizations, our faith-based is represented on our board. Our local city and county is represented, and universities here like the UT Health, the University of Incarnate Word, School of Osteopathic Medicine, and Our Lady of the Lake University. So we really, and then we have, of course, our community members who are not connected to a agency, but have spent their careers working in community, as Ms. Oates here is today, and others. So, and we do have some business representation as well. So we've really sort of expanded our board representation to the many sectors of this community with the individuals that are really working towards creating change, systems change, and local change around these priority issues that have been identified as a local community that of the needs assessment. So that's the makeup of our leadership. But again, I can't stress enough that the work of the collaborative is really organically moved by all of our community partners. We work in collaboration with them, and we look for the right fit, the right role that we play in whichever partnership we secure. So in some cases, we might be the leaders. In other cases, we are followers, or we are, you know, hand in hand working with them towards the achievement of a common goal. So we're very fluid in that sense that we're able to adapt to the needs of our stakeholders and our partners here locally.
And as board chair this year, I can't mention enough how this is a classic not-for-profit, started in the year 2000, that really has 18 board members, as Liz has described, but its work happens in committee. And this new HII task force that Bob Breer talked about recently is one of our latest and best initiatives. And the only difference between this board and others that I have been involved with is the nature of the participants and the board, because there's a commitment and a passion for improving community health. You can hear it in Dr. Ferreira's voice. You can hear it in many of our board members' voices.
Yeah.
So all of us try passionately because we believe in this mission to improve the health of San Antonio, Bexar County, to really bring this agenda forward.
Okay. So Liz, you mentioned something about the fluidity between leadership and followership. So in the prior episode that I mentioned in my intro, I interviewed Katie Bourgeois of Mission Capital here in Austin and Tammy Hines, who's one of our folks here at the Hawk Foundation. I would like to put to all three of you a question that I posed to them. People might have some vague sense that they should be working together, but what understandings need to be surfaced first to make formal collaboration a good idea? And maybe even in particular, kind of, you know, zeroing in on that followership versus leadership issue. If any of you would like to take a swing at that.
Well, you know, many great sayings come to mind. You know, we're better together than working individually. Certainly, we're stronger together.
Right.
But really, what comes to mind is that the collaborative nature, you know, when in your mission statement is to improve health through collaborative means, what we have is an intention and a purpose. But it is a difficult journey. Collaboration is not for the faint of heart. And we have been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
And yes, collaboration is all that it talks about. It means putting aside your personal agenda and having discussions about the greater good. And this is about the greater good. It is not something that happens overnight. And it doesn't happen in one movement because everyone agreed to it. There's a lot of take two steps forward and one step backward. And there's a lot, you know, that's the honesty of what organizations like ours have experienced. But what we have experienced genuinely is every single member has shared a commitment throughout the years, through these 20 years. And I've had the privilege of being part in one way, shape, or form of this health collaborative for 20 years. And because of that, the difficult journey of working collaboratively has really made it better, has improved how we do that. But that there are heated discussions, yes. That there are many ways in which we agree and disagree, yes. But I think the highest thing you can say about a good collaborative is let's agree to disagree, but let's agree that we will move forward at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I probably, you know, definitely agree with Pilar. For me, I think it's even just more simple is that collaboration all begins with trust and transparency and knowing what your challenge is and knowing what your capacity is and being honest about that. I think there's a great opportunity and people that want to work together to recognize their strengths, but also their weaknesses. And then recognize that their weakness may be someone else's strength. And really, how do you partner with those organizations to honor the work that they're doing and to not absorb or take over, but really work in that transparency? You know, there's a vulnerability behind that because you literally are having to come to a table to put your competitive differences aside. But I think it's that trust development phase that is probably the most crucial as you begin. And oftentimes that is the one thing that often cripples collaborations from moving forward is when that cannot be established.
Yeah, and I would say, just to build a little bit on what Pilar talked about, part of the relationship is things that you need right at the beginning of any complicated endeavor, which is trust in the people that you're working with and a generosity. So even though an idea might be predisposed to not believe in it, to hang in there as it goes through the early stages to make sure that everyone's understanding it the same way. And often a risk is that we understand something too quickly because we pigeonhole it. And so the generosity is to have the patience to work through that and really make sure you understand, you know, what it is that you're talking about, what benefits might come out the other end, and who needs to participate.
Okay. So you mentioned the issue of trust and vulnerability. So I want to talk about, I guess, one aspect of that in particular, and that is, you know, learning and evaluation. I've been made to understand that data sharing within a collaborative has to be approached with care and sensitivity. So just what is your overall philosophy on that?
Well, this is Bilal. I think we can get very technical and talk about HIPAA.
Yeah.
And know, you know, whether you're a covered entity or not. And then there's the more generous sharing that talks about, you know, what is the macro picture of the health collaborative and community health. And what we've learned is that we need to share as much as we can. I think Liz addressed this. As an organization, we have to be transparent because our business is to do a community health needs assessment and to do it in such a way that it's valuable to every member in community. So data is our nature, and as Dr. Barrera mentioned earlier, it is how we're going to represent that data that is really important.
It seems, at least in our experience, in my experience working in the community, it has always been because you have that trusted relationship built into your agreements in the forehand, that we have not necessarily found a challenge with it. I have been part of collaboratives in the past where if we can't get past that, if we can't share, if we can't be realistic and honest about what we can contribute and what we can't, mm-hmm. That's oftentimes, you know, sort of that breaking point of when people are able to connect or continue to work together. And there are some times that collaboration just can't happen, right? You know, Pilar made a good point about HIPAA, for example, as well meaning as we might all want to be and as well trusted as we might all want to be, there are compliance things that we also need to be aware of.
Right.
And so it's important to educate each other, especially in cross-sector collaboration, where we have some limitations because of policies, because of regulations. And so, again, I think as well-meaning as people come to the table and want to share, they also have to respect the boundaries by which they need to operate with their own institutions. Whatever is aggregate, as Dr. Ferrer mentioned, you know, whatever is programmatic that can advance the mission of our organization, certainly, but also to be a good partner to our stakeholders, we have been in the practice of being forthcoming with that. But certainly, we also need to protect the data that's safeguarded because of the HIPAA regulations and any other situation we might have with shared data.
Okay. So what would you say is most special about the collaborative? What is it that you all have done together that no one member could have done alone? And what do each of you find most rewarding about this work?
Well, I think we're all looking at each other to see what is the most important. I think all of our work is about that importance. And what we're known for is for doing a community health needs assessment that really organizations around the community, around San Antonio, from hospitals to community, from people that write grant proposals to just the user, end user, that, you know, to use a good computer term, they're going to see that community health needs assessment as about their neighborhood or about a grant proposal or about a community. It's important that we say and stress that everything that is done collectively at the end is worthwhile,
mm-hmm.
is worth doing. So I think we, just by nature of who we are, everything that we do is deliberate, and it's done by approval of the organization, and it's a painful journey. We described that earlier. It can be painful, but we do keep trudging along and moving along until we get there.
And I would just have to say that for you to know the Health Collaborative is to know that we don't do anything alone. None of our product, if you want to, you know, call it that, is done in a siloed approach where it is the Health Collaborative and only the Health Collaborative and only its members and that is producing it. We are very intentional and hold up to our name, which is Health, which is Collaborative. Any of our programs that we provide in community are done with a multi-stakeholder group, have engaged the thought leaders behind it, or, you know, the civic engineers that are doing this at the forefront, the community health workers, the family voice that's engaged in that. So for us, when you ask us, you know, what we do, as we do collaboration, we there is nothing that we can say we own. When we say we own it, we mean our community owns it. And that's true of our needs assessment, about the health improvement plan, about the coalition work, about advocacy that we provide, conferences, trainings. I mean, anything that you can see on our website as a potential product or an output is done by our local community, is done with our local community. And so I think for me, it's hard for me to say which one is more important, because Bilal said, you know, everything's important, but nothing can be done without our community partners, you know, so yeah. We cannot take credit, our sole credit, for anything, because it really requires all of us to do it. I don't think that any one of us could do all of it or one thing on our own. Again, if you go back to the products that we have or the services that we provide, you'll see that it's a delivery of service by multiple stakeholders and multiple parties that are involved in that process.
Okay. So you'll soon be launching the Pathways Community Hub. What is it? How did it come about? And what are its goals?
So the Community Hub is a model that has been put into practice in a few other places. So it has a history and a history of success. And as we were looking for a way to collect, again, this idea of investing new resources in San Antonio, this is the model we eventually coalesced on. So a Pathways Hub is meant to address social determinants in vulnerable populations. So the reason people have deep healthcare problems, who struggle a lot with daily living, is this under the umbrella of social determinants. So it's problems that people have with housing, with food, with employment, with transportation, and many other sectors of their life. And so the hub is meant to be a structure to address those things. For instance, in healthcare, we often find people who have terribly controlled chronic illness or are at high risk. And one of the reasons their illnesses are terribly controlled is they just don't have the resources to cope with all the things they need to buy, with the places they need to get for appointments, and just have the bandwidth, if you will, to care about their own health because they're worried about, you know, do they have a roof next week? So the hub is a way to collect people who need social services and go way beyond the usual modus operandi. So again, as a physician, I might identify someone who's about to be homeless and give them the number of the housing authority. And then what happens after that is kind of hope and a prayer. The hub is a way for me to send through a secure information system to the hub the person's name, what they need, and make a connection. And so the information system is half of the important part of the hub. The other important half, which is very critical, and really the muscle behind it, is there's a set of community health workers, lay people who are from the neighborhoods that we worried about, are very familiar with those neighborhoods, who then take the next step. And they work with people in their homes, right where they are, and help them navigate to the kind of assistance they need. So the third part is the payment mechanism, which is why this turned out to be a health impact investing project. What triggers a payment to the agency that employs the community health workers is essentially success. So if the person needs to get to the housing authority, the payment to the agency is not just to work with the person, it's triggered when they have housing. Maybe they've been in their housing for 2 months, or when they actually get to the food bank and start accessing the food allotments. And so putting all those things together a very careful air traffic control system, if you will, a way to ensure that people get help in the community from a very knowledgeable person, and then the payment mechanism to make sure it happens continuously, because there is, people aren't doing this for free. People are doing this as part of their daily work. Those are the key ingredients. And, you know, it allows us to put in place a strong structure to accomplish those goals.
So we are here talking about community collaboratives. I mentioned episode 55 in my intro. So please, if you are listening, check out that one as well as this one. Our guests are Liz Lutz, Pilar Oates, and Bob Farrar, all of the Bexar County Community Health Collaborative. I really appreciate all three of you finding the time to talk to us about this. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
All right, well, thank you. Take care.
Bye.